Your guide to Merseyside sport. The Kickoff.
Radio City Talk.
Former Everton Director of Communications, Ian Ross, to talk about Wayne Rooney first time round. Morning, Rossi.
Good morning, dear boy.
Let's stretch the memory back. Does it feel like 13 years for you?
No. I mean, I suspect everybody inside Everton will still be tempted to call him the boy Rooney, because we always said he was such a kid when he came through. You know, he looked like he was fresh out of junior school. So I think the temptation to still do that will be there. But no, it doesn't seem. It's flown by.
When he first sort of, I don't want to say burst onto the scene, the Arsenal game was obviously when he got all that notoriety, but you were very much aware behind the scenes of what you got at Everton Football Club. When did you first sort of sit up and go, oh, we've got a real gem here?
Oh, I think any club that's got somebody who is poised for greatness knows. The word sort of filters through the club. It happened at Liverpool with Michael Owen. I think I'm right in saying that when Owen was about 15, they were getting inquiries from clubs like Bayern Munich saying, we believe you've got a young striker, we'd like him. And I think the same thing happened with Wayne Rooney. I know that when he scored the fantastic goal at White Hart Lane against Tottenham in the youth team, I think Tottenham, almost David Pleat, almost immediately made an offer for him. And I think that, following that, I think the sort of the awareness spread throughout football. But there was a general sort of feeling inside the club of not if he would make it, but when he would burst onto the scene and just how good he would be.
What was there a PR plan for Wayne at the time? Did you understand quite how you could manage it?
It was difficult because at that point, the thing that always fascinates me is because I knew Wayne from when he was 15, 16. He was painfully shy. He never had a problem with football, never had a problem with playing, never had a problem in mixing with older players. I think Wayne's big fear at that point, which is perfectly understandable, was facing up to the media. And I remember the day he signed his first professional contract. That was being broadcast live on Sky TV. And I sat with Wayne for an hour in the boardroom, just telling him what questions he could expect. And he was almost white and shaking with fear. and I remember as we walked from the boardroom through, because on the top table there was, I think, myself, Wayne, Paul Stretford. I presume Bill was there. I can't remember. Tony Hibbert was there as well. He just signed a long-term contract. And David Moyes, winding up Wayne, just tapped him on the shoulder and said, live, Wayne, millions of people watching. And the kid was frightened to death. And I remember as we started the press conference, Wayne was chewing gum, which he always did at that age. And we were live on air. And as I was sort of introducing who was on the top table, David just whispered in Wayne's ear, take the gum out of your mouth, Wayne. But he was absolutely terrified. And that's what amazes me. I watched the press conference when he came back yesterday with great interest, because it's astonishing, you know, what people can learn, what they can pick up, and how they change down the years. The same thing happened with Ian Rush all those years ago at Liverpool, a man who was lovely, lovely bloke, but terrified of opening his mouth. He goes to Italy for one season and he comes back and he's brilliant in front of a camera or in front of a notebook.
I don't think Wayne's ever going to be brilliant, though, is he? I mean, don't get me wrong. And he is a lovely lad. I didn't know him that well, but I met him a few times. He still comes across, and you use that word, shy. He's still got that sort of reserved nature about him, hasn't he?
And that, you know, there's a lot of discussion. Oh, there's been a lot of discussion over the last few weeks that why do so many people put him down? And I just don't understand it. But I suspect the reason probably is because he wouldn't play the fame game. I mean, if you look at other players of his generation, that good, Gascoigne and Beckham are the obvious two, were happy to become celebrities. Now, Wayne never, ever wanted that. And I think the fact that he is shy, kept himself to himself with his family, has sort of worked against him in a way, because he didn't want to be anything other than a footballer. He didn't want to be on page one. He wanted to be on the back page.
It's interesting how he's been welcomed back with such open arms, almost, you know, the return of our young son, even though perhaps he didn't win anything with Everton, but he represented an awful lot. Do you remember the time when all of a sudden it broke that he was going to go to Manchester United and Everton were going to lose their great young prodigy?
Yeah, I think at the time, I think it was inevitable, bearing in mind Wayne's agent, and bearing in mind how good he was, and not only how good he was, he knew how good he was. I mean, I still maintain that at that point when he moved to Manchester United, he was probably the best player in the world for 3 or 4 years. A lot of people disagree with me, but I just thought he was a fantastic, wonderful footballer, and still is. But I think there was a growing acceptance that somebody would come in and take him. And I can understand why not every Evertonian would, you know, would relish his return, because basically he's bookending his career with Everton, starts there, finishes there, and his glory years were spent somewhere else. But I think 90% of Evertonians will welcome him back. And, you know, if he can make a genuine impact, and he looks desperately keen to do it, and he also looks in great condition, he looks fantastic at the moment. Mm. And he is only 31. Jermaine Defoe managed to get back into the England squad at the age of 52. So, you know, there's a chance he can still resurrect his England career.
How was Bill when the realisation came, Bill Kenwright, when the realisation came that Everton had to sell him?
He was upset, obviously, because we got, you know, a great player, and Bill knew how popular Wayne was and he knew how good he was. But Bill did what Bill always did and that always has done for Everton. He fought to the very last minute for the best possible deal. And that deal only went through at the very, very last minute. And Bill's often talked about this. He dug his heels in and he said, I want A, B and C or he's not going. And he knew that in the end, Manchester United would cave in and give him what he wanted. And at the time, he got the best possible deal for Wayne Rooney.
No one will be happier at his return then than Bill. And he loves a good storyline.
Well, you know, it, on the surface, it looks like a romantic gesture, and Bill's always been one for a romantic gesture. But I suspect that Ronald Koeman is such a pragmatic man and manager that it would not have happened if Ronald Koeman didn't want him. I suspect that the board asked Koeman, do you want Wayne Rooney? And had Koeman said, no, I don't, that would have been the end of it. But Koeman clearly sees Wayne Rooney as a key fixture inside an ever-expanding squad, you know, quite where he's going to play, if he's going to fit in, if he's going to get in, I don't know. But Koeman clearly sees him as a pivotal figure.
And Wayne himself doesn't see it as a retirement home. I think that's one of the quotes on the back of the papers today. Is there an unfinished business element, do you think, for Wayne?
I think there probably is. I suspect the last couple of years, it seems odd to say this, but it's almost as if Wayne became bored with playing for Manchester United. I'm not sure. Mourinho was always a great fan of Rooney's, and I think he wanted him at Chelsea at one point. But Mourinho's ruthless, and I just think he decided that Wayne was surplus to requirements, and it's just the way Wayne carried himself in games. And people should remember what he did for that club. You know, he would have got 50, 60 more goals had he insisted on playing purely as a striker. But he's been played in all positions for Manchester United and contributed so much to the team. So, you know, I think it's an interesting move. I'm not sure it's a great move, but it could well turn out to be a great move, because you should never underestimate a player of his quality.
And Rossi, we're in a different era, it feels like it anyway. Everton have dominated the back pages, the media for a month. Do you remember a time? When did that last happen?
No, I can't. I think there was that famous day under Walter Smith when we ended up signing three on the last day. I can't even remember who they were now. Gin or Rinko, was it? But this is, I mean, it's amazing for Evertonians. It's like a never-ending Christmas, this. It's like you think you've opened all the presents, then you find another one behind the settee. It's crazy. And, you know, they've brought so many players in. And, you know, if the rumours are correct, there are more to come. But again, you know, I was sitting down last night and I sort of wrote out what I thought might... I tried to write what I thought might be the starting 11 for the Stoke game, but you can't do it. I mean, I don't know who'll be playing up front. And you look at the midfield, and there's about 10 quality players there vying for 4 or 5 places, which is what you need. You need a great squad. It's keeping them all happy that's going to be the problem. But bearing in mind Everton have European football this season, then Koeman will be one very happy manager.
Steve Hoddesall's kickoff.
This is Radio City Talk.